This morning I'm proclaiming God's word from the Gospel, especially one of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive the words of your Son, fill us with your Spirit, so that our lives may be marked by his gentleness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today in the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, we heard God's word say that Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God's wisdom, shown to us, and especially shown to us through his suffering and death, through his cross. Today we're going to think about Christ as our wise teacher, our gentle teacher, who imparts to us his word and indeed who he is, and who frees us to lead gentle lives. I want to start though by thinking about wisdom and teaching. Back when I was at seminary, I did a course called a Wisdom Literature, looking at certain books of the Old Testament, books like Proverbs and Job and Ecclesiastes, these sorts of books. And in one of the opening lectures, the teacher asked us this: think about the most influential teachers that you've had in your life. The ones who've had the most influence on you have changed you the most. How much of their actual teaching, the actual words that they've said, could you repeat to me now? Now, most of us were a bit dumbstruck by this because we'd all had influential teachers, but it can be very hard to reconstruct the actual teaching. I guess given time, we could do that. But often teaching becomes what you could say is the leaf mould of the mind from which things grow. It's hard, though, sometimes to replicate it exactly. And yet, the teaching's there, and yet the influence is there. Now, our lecturer back in seminary in this wisdom class was getting us to think about the fact that teachers do impart knowledge, especially if they love their subject. They can share a vision with us. They can help us see a different way. They can take us along a journey. But also, wise teachers, influential teachers, impart who they are, their spirit, their character to us. They help us grow as human beings, no matter what it is we're being taught. If we're being taught to bake a cake, for example, by grandma, grandma maybe imparts something of who she is in doing this and gives us a different way of thinking about eating and food and life together in family. If it's about how to put a bike tire on a bike, if we're taught this by a friend or a relative, or even if we learn this at school, and we get into the vision of the teacher, it can change who we are and grow us. It can also happen with subjects like mathematics or history or you name it. Wise teachers, influential teachers, impart not just the subject matter, although they do this very well, they also impart who they are. Now, today, I want to start with a quote from later on in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus shares with us who he is and makes an invitation to us as a true teacher. He says this: "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle," make note of that word, "for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, our Lord, our great teacher — he's more than a great teacher, but he certainly is that — Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. As we learn from him, as we sit at his feet, he imparts his gentleness to us and transforms our life together as a community. Now, with that in mind, Jesus' gentleness, his spirit, the way he teaches, let's listen to the reading, the gospel reading, and how it begins. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them. Now, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has already, at this point, chosen his first disciples. And you may remember from the Gospels that people did not apply to become students of Jesus, to become his disciples. Instead, he called them. Jesus took the initiative. He started the ball rolling. He approached people and called them to follow him. We think about this with Peter, with James, with John. He called them to make them fishers of men. No longer out on the lake fishing for fish, but disciples made so by Jesus, by his initiative. They were to be with him, to learn from him, and he was going to make them people who'd fish for human beings. Now, in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, we have Jesus seeing the crowds and going up onto the mountain. And he sits down to teach. Sitting down, by the way, is the traditional posture for teaching in the ancient world. Here I am standing in a pulpit. You may have heard of churches called cathedrals, because in a cathedral is a cathedra, a seat that the bishop teaches from. If you get the image of me sitting down the front here with the kids, that's an image of teaching as well, sitting down to teach. That's what Jesus is doing here today. And he is teaching his students, his disciples. Now the crowds are listening in. This is quite evident by the end of the Sermon on the Mount. But he's teaching his disciples. You know, sometimes it happens that teaching is given to an individual, or maybe a couple or more people, with others listening in. Think about when I was installed here as pastor. Many of you are here for this. At that stage, the bishop would have been addressing me in your hearing. Or think about a wedding couple. Often the pastor at a wedding will speak to that couple with the congregation listening in. Or think about even at a baptism. Often the pastor will speak to the sponsors and parents, and everyone's listening in. It's worth thinking about what's happening on these occasions. Teaching is being given, encouragement, to an individual or a small group, but others are listening in to know this is what's happening for these people. So if you're at a wedding, listening in to the pastor speak to the wedding couple, you know that you are witnesses to this, that the wedding couple are being encouraged in a way that you can hold them to as well. The crowd's here listening in to Jesus speaking to his disciples. Now the Sermon on the Mount, his teaching, begins with a list of promises. The Lutheran theologian David Scare writes this: in the Beatitudes, newly called disciples are faced not with moral demands, they are promised great things from God. In the Beatitudes, first of all, Jesus promises his disciples great things from God. Jesus is not afraid of moral teaching. He gives that to his disciples also in the Sermon on the Mount with great clarity and strength and startling power. But he begins, first of all, with great promises. Now, in today's sermon, I just want to look at one of these. Listen to these words. Blessed are the meek, our Lord says, for they will inherit the earth. Now, the word meek is not a word that we use much in normal, everyday conversational English. If it is used, I think it often has a pejorative sense. If someone's meek, they're a doormat, someone that you can walk over. And I think if we have this understanding, it's not necessarily helpful to us. Just so you know, the word which is translated into English here as meek is actually the same word as the word that's used elsewhere in Matthew's Gospel and translated into English as gentle. It's that word. So you could easily say, and I'm suggesting today you receive it this way as speakers of modern English, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Now let's think about gentleness and think about what a gentle person is like. And since in this sermon we're thinking about teachers, let's think about a gentle teacher. Does a gentle teacher go into a rage with their students? I don't think so. We know there are teachers who do go into a rage against their students, and maybe you've been on the receiving end, but it's not necessarily helpful teaching, is it? You aren't necessarily influenced in a good way by such teachers. A gentle teacher does not fly into a rage with their students. A gentle teacher also does not demean their students. Often teachers can be tempted to say quite sarcastic and nasty things to their students. Even as parents, we can fall into this trap as we teach our children. Or in our workplace, if we're teaching people new tasks, sometimes we can fall into this way of speaking and doing things. But that's not gentle teaching. A gentle teacher does not demean their students, but instead speaks words of encouragement. Now, when we as students receive words of encouragement, aren't we built up? Blessed are the gentle. Also, gentle teachers explain things patiently. They're willing to go over the same ground, to use new words and to take different approaches to try and impart their teaching to their students. They don't give up easily, but they persevere. A gentle teacher, a teacher with a calling, a teacher who knows their place, knows how to hand on the subject matter patiently with perseverance, not to fly into a rage, not to demean their students. Now, our text is saying that our Lord Jesus here is a gentle teacher and is assuring us that as we are led down this path of gentleness, that we will inherit the earth. Now, normally in this world, we think of those who are brutal, thuggish, those who grasp that they will inherit the earth, that they will get the biggest slice of the pie, that the future belongs to them. But our Lord Jesus Christ promises differently. He asks us to trust him. He shows us who he is and wins our trust. It is indeed the gentle who will inherit the earth. The gentle who will receive as a gift from God without grasping the wholeness of what God wishes to give, even the new heavens and the new earth. There's nothing weak about gentleness, because Jesus shows us what true gentleness is. And Jesus was not a doormat. Later on in Matthew's Gospel, you get the word gentle used again, and again of Jesus. This is as Jesus goes into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. And listen to these words. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, gentle, that is, and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus goes into Jerusalem to face his suffering, to face his death. He is not weak, but is instead resolute. He does not give up, but perseveres. He does not grasp, but gives himself over to God. He is a true king, the one who has true power, and is gentle. He goes down this path for us, to win for us what we could not win for ourselves, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God our Father, and the possibility of leading a new life together in the church which he calls. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who makes us disciples. He's taken the initiative with you. You were made disciples when you were baptized in the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was God's initiative in your life. He called you to be with him. And your Lord Jesus shows who he is in his teaching and also in his spirit. He does not explode in a rage with you. He does not demean you by his word, but instead encourages you to persevere and to walk. This is our teacher. This is who we're learning from. We can therefore admit our mistakes, knowing that our Lord won't fly into a rage. Admit when we don't understand, when we need help We can call out in the Lord Jesus because his name means the Lord saves. And he is with us always to the end of the age. Since our Lord is with us, even in our midst, since he is a gentle teacher, we can be encouraged also to be gentle with one another and to be gentle with those out in our lives, even those who stand against us. Jesus promises that the meek, the gentle, will inherit the earth. That's a promise spoken by the one who went through death into life. It's a promise of God. It's a promise of us. It's a promise to us for our encouragement, so that we may live together as a community in a spirit of gentleness.